الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. The khutbah begins as follows. How abundant are the storms that attack the Muslim and it fills his skies with clouds, and how often this is not part of the khutbah translation. And how often does the man or the person face the increase in prices? I heard even in the Philippines, the price is going up. Rice, tilapia, things are not good. Rice. Tilapia maybe not, but you go fishing. Waste of money in different things in businesses, the share and what have you. So Iman comes to fight off these feelings, because now you are suffering from prices, inflation, whatever they call that. Yes, and so your Iman, your faith in Allah and His angels and His books and the Day of Judgment and preordainment will come to support you, and it is supposed to support you. This kind of happiness is brought through Iman. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in case you don't know him, he's called Shaykh al-Islam, which means the Shaykh of Islam, meaning the biggest scholar of Islam, of course after the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This brother was very unique in his knowledge. Allah gave him so much knowledge, and he compiled so many books that his books of fatawa, the verdicts, is around, I don't think, 23 volumes. This much. Only his opinions based on the Quran and the Sunnah. Don't discuss what he compiled and he authored of books. He was so well knowledge, I don't know if this is good, he was so well in every kind of knowledge, every branch of knowledge, that when a person would read his work, he will think that this is his specialty. Like even in your business right now, there's one person who's good as a technician, another person good as a, whatever, boss. Everybody has a field that he is special at. He was special in everything. If he did anything, he spoke about anything, you'll say, okay, this is a specialty, but it's not. This brother was imprisoned a few times, not because he committed any crime, but because he gave a fatwa that was not really appreciated by some of the deviant people during his time. Some of the Sufis who wanted him to be, who used to go worship graves, and he gave a fatwa that it is not allowed in Islam to go visit a grave in order to pray over there. You only can do that to 3 masajid. Long story. Anyways, he was imprisoned because of that. When they imprisoned him, he said the following. Now imagine, you are taken to prison. You're going to be in a seclusion, okay, in a single cell on your own. Nobody there to help you, speak to you, what have you. You know the food and the quality of food and the quality of sleep is horrible. Yet he said, what will my enemies do to me? My paradise is in my chest. It does not leave me. Waalaikum salam. Wherever I go. So although they seem to have imprisoned him physically, he said, my paradise, my happiness is in my chest. What are my enemies going to do to me? Regardless of where I am, meaning he is content with Iman. Yes. His faith in Allah and looking forward for the Day of Judgment and paradise and the goodness that Allah has prepared for the believers makes him really not care whatever happens to him in this world. What seems to be horrible for one of us to go to prison, to him was like a picnic. He said, this is good. I'm in seclusion. So he started offering books and doing tafsir of the Quran, and he did a lot of things in prison. Subhanallah. The Shaykh said in his khutbah that losing happiness from someone's heart means you will have a lot of worries and stress. It's one of the two. Either you are happy or you are stressed and you have anxiety. You know, you're anxious about things. You're troubled by things. He says, so then the wolves of the earth will try to attack this person. Whenever you're not happy and you have anxiety and stress, the wolves of the earth will try to attack you and take advantage of your weakness. That will destroy your body physically. And it is, you know, being stressful and being anxious and not being able to sleep, you know, insomnia. Yes, where you do not. Insomnia. Jazakumullahu khairan. Insomnia.
Yes.
I remember there was a crazy TV show about this guy who did that. Anyways, alhamdulillah, I don't watch this stuff anymore. Yes, so basically not being able to sleep at night, mashallah. English language is strong over here. وَلَا أَشَدَّ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهُ. I'm reading in Arabic now. And there's nothing more severe, O servants of Allah, than you being stressed in your life. Because stress now, being stressful, is a soldier from the soldiers of Allah. Why? Because does anything happen without the will of Allah? Does anything happen without the will of Allah?
No.
So when you are stressed, when some difficulty comes upon you, when you lose your happiness, is it by the will of Allah or independent?
Yes.
It's by the will of Allah. So it is from Allah. The stress that may affect one of us is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now listen to this interesting issue that went on here. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And to Allah belongs the soldiers of the heavens and the earth, and verily Allah is full of might and wisdom. A man asked Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, the fourth Khalifa of the Muslims and the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the husband of Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the father of Al-Hasan al-Husayn, the grandchildren of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All these are people of virtue in Islam, not like the Shia though make it. A person asked him, who is the strongest of the soldiers of Allah? Who is the strongest of the soldiers of Allah? Look at this answer. He said, the mountains are cut with iron. So iron is stronger. Your mountain is strong, but you get some machinery now, a caterpillar, what have you, boom, 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 gone. He said, so iron is stronger. He said, but the fire melts the iron. So the fire is stronger. But the water puts out the fire. So the water is stronger. You want to continue it?
Yes.
And the clouds bring the water. So the clouds are stronger. And the wind plays with the clouds. It makes it move left and right. So the winds are stronger. طيب. And the human being will stop the wind with his hand or with his soap, with his clothing, with his thobe. So the human being is stronger. And And sleep overpowers the human being. So sleep is stronger. Because now you're stronger than the wind, but sleep gets you knocked out. No matter how tough you are, when you gotta sleep, you gotta sleep. Okay, that's another story though. So sleep is stronger. And stress overcome. Later, tell him later, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. And stress overpowers sleep. So stress is the strongest of the sources of Allah. Because you want to sleep, but if you're stressful, you can't sleep. You'll be thinking all night, twisting and turning in the bed, putting the pillow this way, putting it that way, sleeping the other way around. Maybe you go to sleep on the couch, it doesn't work, you go back to the bed, you go on the balcony, you go downstairs, it doesn't work. No sleep. Why? Because you're stressed. Maybe you're traveling back tomorrow to the Philippines, you're anxious to see the family, no sleep. So anyways, this is very interesting how he went, you know, in this sequence to say that stress is the strongest soldiers of Allah. Because you can, it can prevent you from doing many things. طيب. The Shaykh said, so happiness and tranquility is a gift from Allah and mercy. If you're feeling happy and feeling good, this is a gift given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, being stressful and being angry is a test from Allah. And it is an indication that Allah may not be pleased with you. Because happiness is not when you have a lot of money, or you have a lot of authority, or you have a lot of children. Waalaikum salam. Because happiness cannot be measured, and it cannot be bought with money. And happiness actually is commitment with Allah that translates into righteous deeds. Okay, don't worry about him. He's just a human being. He's drinking his tea. Here. Stay here. Focus on what I'm saying. Not on me, what I'm saying.
Everybody's saying, are you asking? Did you do something weird before you came here?
No, I don't think so. Tayyib. So basically, it's not happiness is submitting to Allah and doing. This is the strangest khutbah translation I've ever had in my life. Patience for 20 minutes, okay? Just bear with me for 20 minutes, then I will leave you forever, or at least the next Friday. So then you could do whatever you want. So happiness is submitting to Allah, which translates into good deeds. And this will make the person be able to bear or to carry all kinds of difficulties in life. And it will make you become patient in carrying the difficulties and the troubles that you may come across in your life. And so you become a more patient person, able to resist and handle any kind of calamity that may befall upon you. And a happy person is the one who favors the later happiness over the quick passing one. Meaning the one who works for paradise, even if this life is not going to be a paradise for him. That is a true happy individual, Ahlan Bil Coach. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. Verily those who believe and they do righteous deeds, Allah will make for them love. Either love, they could be understood in a number of ways. Love in the world where people love them. People love you if you are a believer and do righteous deeds. Or you'll be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels, as it comes in another narration. If Allah loves one of you, He calls Gabriel. He says, oh Gabriel, I love such and such person. And then He will command Gabriel to love you. Then Gabriel will call the inhabitants of the heavens. He will say, Allah loves such and such person. Whatever your name is, Ricardo, or if you change it, you became Muhammad, whatever. Allah will tell him that then the angels will love you. Then Allah will put love or acceptance for you on earth, where people love you. Yet, if Allah doesn't love a person, He also calls on to Gabriel, Jibreel. And He tells him, I don't love such and such person, so don't love him. So Jibreel will hate you. Then he will tell the angels of the heavens to hate you. Then Allah will make people on earth hate you. So you are really one of two individuals. And there's no third for them. Two individuals, Ahlan wa Sahlan. There's no third for them. So, being happy is accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whomever tastes the sweetness of faith, whomever tastes the sweetness of faith, then has really tasted the sweetness of happiness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has tasted the sweetness of faith that who accepts Allah as his Lord, and Islam as his way of life, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his Prophet and his Messenger. That person has accepted the sweetness of faith. Now, okay, so this will be standing up. Hey, it was narrated by Muslim. Now the Prophet ﷺ said, it is from the happiness of the son of Adam to be pleased with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal decrees. And it is from the unhappiness or the sadness of the son of Adam if he is displeased with whatever Allah decrees. And this is a very sensitive point that many of us really don't understand sometimes. So something will happen to you, we start making a big deal and fuss, and we're very dissatisfied with the decree of Allah. And this is an indication that you're not really happy. If you are a true believer in the ultimate sense, you will say, Alhamdulillah. What are you going to do? It already happened. Is getting angry going to change it? No. Being unhappy, is it going to go back to the past, change things, or is it going to remain the same? It will remain the same. So you might as well be happy. Too late. This is kind of the mentality that we're speaking about. طيب. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu wrote a letter to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He told him in the letter, as what follows, verily all goodness lies in you being pleased with whatever Allah decrees. And if you're unable to be pleased, then at least be patient. Okay, if you're unable to reach that level of being pleased with Allah's decree, at least be patient during the time of difficulty. Do not act foolishly. Okay, as some disbelievers will do. Why did Allah do this to me? How come I pray 5 times a day? And this is not fair. And some crazy stuff like that. Okay, a Muslim never really says that. If you truly believe in Allah, you would not question why Allah does what He does. Because those who were better than you were tested more than you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of his children died in his life. He's seen him. Okay, his parents were his mother was a disbeliever. Prophet Noah, his son was a disbeliever. He drowned in front of his eyes. Okay, he's among the inhabitants of the fire. Prophet Lut, his wife was a disbeliever. Abraham, his father was a disbeliever. They were tested in life. So if these people were tested and they are the most beloved to Allah, then who are me and you to sit there and complain, why is this happening to me? So this is the way of Allah. You don't complain. You be patient. Your reward is in the hereafter, none in this dunya. So now the Prophet, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Hadith Qudsi, which was a narration narrated by the Prophet ﷺ in his own words, but it's the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it says, I am whatever my servant thinks of me. So Allah is telling us, I am whatever my servant thinks of me. Meaning if you think good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you that. If you think evil, then you're going to get whatever you are expecting of Allah. So you always think good. Muhsin al-dhan billah. If he remembers me within himself, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I remember him within myself. And if he remembers me in a group of people, then I will remember him in a group of people better than theirs. Meaning, we are remembering Allah right now, and among human beings, we're all sinners. Allah will remember you among his angels who never disobey Allah. So they are better than us. Tayyib, this was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith and others indicate that the sa'ada or happiness is really by being a person who is pleased with Allah's decree. Some of the old Muslims said, verily we are in such happiness that if the kings and the princes and these people who have a lot of money knew what we had from happiness, they will fight with us with the swords to get it away from us. Because they have all the money, but they don't have the happiness that we believe.
As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Then I will not elongate this. I will summarize some of his statements, or just omit others. The Shaykh went on to say that the reason why we lose happiness, there are a number of factors. Okay, bye. There are a number of factors that affect us. Why do we actually lack happiness and we are feeling stressed and anxious and sad? There are some reasons. Here are some of them. Number one, singing. Singing. Now I know you know Muslims, but we have to be truthful with each other. Okay? Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and 50 Cent. He's called 50 Cent for a reason. You know, 50 Cent is cheap, and he's probably not even worth a shoe, let alone 50 Cent, which is a few halalas. Or any one of the old singers, new singers, what have you.
Tom Jones.
Hey, Tom Jones, there you are. This is, singing is an instrument of the devil. Let it be known. Singing is an instrument of the devil. Allah says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَسْتَيْ لَهُ الْحَدِيثِ لِيُضُلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. And among the people are those who purchase idol talk in order to misguide the people from the path of Allah without knowledge. Ibn Mas'ud, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the scholars of the Sahaba, swore by Allah 3 times. He said, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, this verse is talking about singing. Singing. So, singing, ya shabab, singing is un-Islamic. Now, but there's a more detailed answer. If it is during a wedding, and it is sisters with sisters only, then it is permissible for sisters to sing to sisters in a wedding or during Eid. But for a brother, a man, to grab a microphone and sit on stage and start squeaking like a woman, ooh, this kind of stuff, this is un-Islamic. To sing anything else that deals with love and fornication and being attached to the dunya is un-Islamic. Okay? So we do not do that. And this is prohibited in Islam. Because your heart will either...
Islamic song.
Hey, there's no Islamic song. There's no such thing as Islamic song. The word song is un-Islamic. There is what they call nasheed. Nasheed actually is very different today than what it was before. The Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, used to do nasheed. What is nasheed? It is basically a recitation of poetry. The recitation of poetry without any sound effects, without any extra, you know, rehearsal, without having a chorus in the background, something very spontaneous and natural. And there have been many poems in Islam from the early times where a man will come and recite poetry. For example, one of the ones that is known, for example, from Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, يَا سِلْعَةَ الرَّحْمَنِ لَسْتِ رَقِيصَةً بَلْ أَنْتِ غَالِيَةً عَلَى الْكَسْلَانِ. Something like that. See how basic this is? Unlike what you hear today from nasheed, where they come with a band, and they look like a band, and they have a main singer and chorus in the background, and they sound like women who are squeaking, you know, and they come and make acts and they do on stage. This is not Islamic song. Nasheed is a man who recites poetry to excite the people about the deen of Allah, to encourage them about good character, not anything else that is being done today under the title Islamic song. Okay, so Sami Yusuf and his life are on the X list. And whether they use instruments or not, this is not what nasheed means. Nasheed means poetry, not anything else. I know this is, you know, but alhamdulillah, Allah decreed that we discuss this. So brothers, as men, you don't want to sing. You go to Jannah, you hear whatever you want to hear from pleasurable sounds. Or you can say whatever you want to say in paradise. Now are we all on earth? We want to recite the Quran. We want to recite poetry if you're tired of the Quran, in case you ever read so much Quran that you became tired of it. But to go into singing, as some people may sing, like the song of the disbelievers, then this is Islamically inappropriate. It doesn't befit a man who is supposed to be a man. This is more like a womanish act. And in Islam, a person who resembles a woman is really not on good condition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a woman who resembles a man is something of the same situation. Another reason why we may be unhappy is because of images or pictures that the Prophet, that Islam had forbade. For instance, you may hang on your wall the picture of, I don't know who, Michael Jordan and Mike Tyson, and you know, these kinds of people and what have you, even Muhammad Ali Clay, even if he's a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا صورة. The angels do not enter a house in which there is an image or a dog. So if you're ever interested in having angels in your house, which will naturally kick away the shayateen, the devils, then you must keep your home plain. Okay? If you have a picture of anything that has a soul, you can have a picture of flowers, you can have pictures of the sun and the moon and the rivers and the mountains, all this is halal, permissible in Islam. Once it's a soul like a human or an animal, then you are depriving the angels from entrance. There are a number of reasons why, this is not the time to discuss them, because it falls under imitating the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who creates, Allah is the one who proportions this creation, and He gives them the images. We do not come and compete with Allah by trying to do something that He does. Okay, this is not our field. And even in the Bible, you know, having images was something that is highly prohibited. You're not supposed to have any image. But of course the Christians don't follow the Bible, or they don't follow nothing. Allahumma sta'an. So in Islam, this is among the reasons why you may be unhappy. Thirdly, a lot of sins and disobedience, and this being spread among the inhabitants of the household. Fourthly, or before that, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily the servant will be deprived of sustenance that Allah has written for him due to an evil sin that he commits. So Allah will have 500 riyals set for you to receive somehow, and then you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the 500 riyals also go away. So the more we commit sins, the more we will lose our provision, the more we will be unhappy. Because when you're poor, usually you're unhappy. Imam Ahmad, no, we'll leave that alone. We'll leave that alone. Fifth, leaving alone, no, fourthly, being negligent about the salah, being careless about the salah. The Prophet ﷺ said, and the pleasure of my eye was made to be the prayer, meaning the thing that makes him the most happy was to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are careless about the salah, meaning you hear the muezzin calling the adhan in the masjid, and you're flipping through the TV channels, seeing which pretty woman you want to keep staying at for the next couple of hours, then inevitably you're going to live a miserable life. You may have some fun while you look at the woman, but trust me, sooner or later it's going to all fall back on your head. Okay, because you can never attain true happiness by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't want to be negligent about the salah. Fifthly, to leave alone remembrance of Allah and supplication and seek forgiveness. We must continually remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُوا الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts reach tranquility by the remembrance of Allah. Isn't it by the remembrance of Allah that their hearts reach tranquility? The answer is yes. When you remember Allah, you will always be happy, content, and relaxed. When you don't remember Allah, the shaitan will attack. Because remembering Allah is like a fortress that is surrounding you, protecting you from the devil. The more you remember Allah, the more you protect it. Because the shaitan doesn't approach whatever Allah's name is mentioned. The less you remember Allah, the more the shaitan will be going in and out, up and down, and controlling your thoughts, your ideas, your movements, your statements, and what have you. So we need to continuously remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ once entered into a masjid and he found one of the companions of the Ansar sitting there. He told him, his name was Abu Umama. He said, "Ya Abu Umama, what is holding you, what is keeping you in the masjid at the time when there's no prayer?" So maybe he came to him around, for example, 10 a.m. Okay, this is not the time for salah. Salah was either Fajr or it's going to be in another 2 hours, Dhuhr. So he found him sitting in the masjid. He said, "What keeps you in the masjid right now?" He said, O Messenger of Allah, it is some stress that I have and some deficiency in my wealth, my money, yani, as not too much. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Shall I not tell you about something, some supplication, some words that if you say that Allah will alleviate the problems that you have?" He said, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Say every time in the morning, whenever in the morning or in the evening, say the following, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from stress and from sadness, and I seek refuge in you from disability and from laziness, and I seek refuge in you from being weak, or being afraid, and from being miserly or stingy, and I seek refuge in you from men trying, you know, the oppression of men and the oppression of death." The oppression of death. Now, so Abu Umama said, "And I did that, and Allah Azza wa Jal removed off me what I was suffering from debt that I owe to the people." So basically, this is why I've commanded you, and I remind myself of you, to buy this book called The Muslim Fortress. 5 riyals, maybe 3 riyals. It comes in Arabic, English, and transliteration in the same book, and there's one in Tagalog. Okay? You want to learn them, because in it there are the various supplications of the morning and the evening, before the salah, after the salah, before you go to the bathroom, after you get out of the bathroom, before you eat, after you eat. If you continue to say those, you are always protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be blessed throughout your life. A Muslim is always mindful of Allah, not once a week, not 5 times a day, all the day. You are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remind myself and you to take advantage of this particular small book.
3 riyals.
Nice. We have it down here at the reception. I'm not trying to propagate JDC. You could buy it from anywhere. But this book is a valuable book that we could learn these. For example, this application. Maybe you have some debt. Maybe you owe people some money. And you want Allah to remove that off you. You do this, Allah will do this for you. This is not a joke. Allah will keep His promise. Okay, but you have to have faith that this will happen. If you're doubtful, then we go to the other narration. If you, whatever you think of Allah, then it's going to be like that. طيب والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.